Today we're kicking off a new conversation called Can We Talk? And we're diving into this thing that is a part of almost every single one of our lives, and yet for most of us remains a mystery. And whether you come to face this thing that we call prayer in light of an incredible tragedy like what we saw this past weekend, whether it becomes part of your life when you're faced with something to this grand extent so far beyond our control, or whether it's in a situation where you're losing someone who's really, really close to you, or maybe for you it's just when you're about to run out of gas, this idea of prayer seems to be a part of almost all of our experiences. And in my experience, it really doesn't matter where you are on this journey. It doesn't even necessarily matter what you believe about God. At some point or another, we all find ourselves confronting this thing or going to this thing that we call prayer. And yet, I think for most of us, again, it really doesn't matter where you are on the journey. It doesn't really matter if this is the first time that you're even engaging this idea of God or if you've been following God for quite some time. For most of us, this idea of prayer is completely a mystery. And we don't necessarily know how it works. And we probably have more questions about this than we do answers. And so we find ourselves in these situations turning to prayer. And we find ourselves praying about these things, and we hear that we should be praying, and so we pray. But we don't really understand, like, okay, why does God seem to answer some prayers and not other prayers? Why does it seem sometimes like I'm really connecting with God and he's listening to me, and then at other times he feels like a million miles away? And why does sometimes it seem like we're actually having a conversation, and then other times it seems like I'm just talking to a wall or just talking to the air? I think for most of us, this idea of prayer, when it comes to how this works out, we're lost. And we don't even know where to start, where we should even begin to have this conversation. And the good news is that you're in pretty good company. And the good news is that you're not alone. And I think sometimes when it comes to this idea of prayer, we don't want to ask questions about it because it seems like something we should already know. And so the idea that I'm going to walk into my dinner group and be like, guys, I don't understand prayer at all, it's kind of like, well, you're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to understand this because everyone kind of talks about it like they understand it, even though really none of us do. And the good news is not only is it you and not only is it me that doesn't understand this, but when we look at those who followed Jesus Christ, we see that the same thing was true about them as well. As a matter of fact, the 12 that Jesus chose to be closest to him, the 12 that Jesus chose to be his disciples, as we watch them interact with Jesus, we see that they were completely lost when it came to this idea of prayer. As a matter of fact, in the book of John, or in the book of Luke, chapter 1, we hear them have a conversation with Jesus about this idea of prayer, and it says, once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. The disciples are watching Jesus Christ in this prayer life that he has, the way that he prays, the way that he has a conversation with God, and they come to him and they realize that this is drastically different from the way that they pray, from the conversation they're having with God. And so they come to him and say, listen, can you teach us how to pray? Because we don't get it. And apparently John's disciples had noticed the same thing about John, that John was having a conversation with God that they weren't having. And so they realized, when it comes to this idea, I don't understand. But there's something different about the way that you pray, Jesus. There's something different about the conversation you're having. And so, will you teach us how to pray? And we see this in the life of Jesus over and over and over again. And sometimes Jesus even talks about this. Because with Jesus, it was more than just him talking to God. There was actually like a two-way conversation that was taking place. And he talks to his disciples about this. He talks to us about this in his word. And you'll hear him say things like in John 12, verse 49, it says, I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. He says, listen, when I'm talking, I'm not just telling you what is happening in my head. God is actually telling me what to say, and then I'm telling it to you. He says, there's this conversation happening between me and God that influences how I live and what I do. At another point, he says, you know, I don't make the rules about what happens in my life. Where he says to go, I go. Wherever I see him working, that's what I do. And you see that for Jesus Christ, there seemed to be something different happening here. And this idea of prayer was more than just him coming and talking to God, but that God was actually talking to him. And that God was actually informing his decisions. God was actually leading him. And so the disciples see this and they realize that that's not at all what they're experiencing. And so they say, teach us how to pray. And for some of us, we look at that and we say, well, yeah, but that's Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus Christ is God's son. He's going to have a different relationship with God than I do. But the problem with that is that when Jesus Christ is leaving his disciples, these guys that he's taught how to pray, he tells them that they're going to begin to experience the exact same thing that he experienced. Because he says, listen, that same spirit that I told you was informing my decisions, it's going to come and it's going to live in you. Romans says it this way. It says, the spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same spirit living within you. As he leaves his disciples, he says, listen, this spirit that I've been in this conversation with, he's going to come and he's going to begin to have this conversation with you as well. And he's going to begin to inform you the way that he's been informing me. Listen to what he says to his disciples in John 16. He says, all that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. And our temptation in this situation, or the thing that we usually fall back on when we read these passages about this incredible conversation that Jesus is having with God, is that we look at that and we say, well, that's Jesus. But when Jesus leaves his disciples, he says, this is going to be true for you as well. And this conversation that I've been having, you're going to begin to be able to have this conversation as well. Which, to me, is just unbelievable. I mean, how incredible is it that God says, you know, this conversation I've been having with God, you can have that. This idea of prayer, it no longer has to be a one-way street, but it's going to begin to become a two-way street, and the Spirit of God can actually begin to inform your decisions. He's going to actually answer you. He's going to actually tell you where to go and how to be able to go there. He's going to actually respond. I mean, how amazing is that? And as Jesus leaves his disciples, he says, listen, guys, I want you to understand something. This is possible for you. In this conversation that you've been watching me have, you get to be part of that. Now, if you're around me for very long, you begin to realize that when God tells me something is possible, I'm not okay for settling for something less than that. And so when I hear Jesus Christ say this, that the Spirit is going to begin talking to me, that I'm going to actually be able to hear from God, I believe it. And for me, then, the question is no longer, is it possible? But the question is, what does that look like? because I don't think there are very many of us here who would be able to honestly say that we're consistently hearing from God. That we're experiencing what Jesus Christ said we could experience. I mean, he says some crazy things about this. As a matter of fact, as he's talking to his followers, he says, sometimes you're going to find yourself in tough places and you're not going to know how to respond to the people around you, but the Spirit is going to tell you exactly what to be able to say and the perfect thing to be able to say in those situations. That's how clearly you're going to be able to hear from him. And I look at these things and I say, okay, God, I hear that this is possible. But how? And that's what I want to spend the next 4 weeks on. And to be honest with you, there's no way in 4 weeks that we're going to be able to unpack this entire mystery that's prayer. It's just not going to happen. But what I want to do over the next 4 weeks is I want to begin to send you on a journey. I want to kind of push you into this promise. I want to bring you to the point where you begin to believe that this is actually possible. And to kind of set our direction when it comes to prayer and to push you to become learners of, okay, God, what does this look like then in my life? And so for the next 4 weeks, I want to kind of lay a foundation that will allow you to then build upon that as you're interacting with God in your individual and personal lives. As we get started, we're going to dive right into Jesus' answer to his followers when they ask him, teach us to pray. And we're going to look specifically at how he answers them. And it's interesting because when he answers them, he actually answers with a passage that is familiar to almost all of us. Even if you had nothing to do with church growing up, you've probably heard the Lord's Prayer. It begins, and almost all of us could recite it if we wanted to, this idea that, okay, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and we could go on and on. And for most of us, we could actually recite it, even if we didn't grow up in church, because it's said before, like, basketball games and in all these strange places where you just wouldn't expect things like this to be said. And so for most of us, it's really familiar. But I think for a lot of us, we've kind of missed what Jesus Christ was actually trying to communicate in this. And so what I want us to do is, as we begin this series, is to go back to that answer that Jesus Christ gives his followers and to see exactly what he's trying to establish for them as they begin to have this conversation with their God. And it's interesting because this prayer, when we read it, we think, okay, like, and for some reason as a church, we've kind of built this prayer into something that we recite over and over and over again, when the truth is, it wasn't meant to be that at all. When Jesus Christ answers this question for them, okay, how does this happen? How did God teach us how to pray? When he answers this question, he doesn't answer with the prayer that he expects them to say over and over and over again. We see that lived out in his life because he doesn't ever pray this prayer again. We also see that in the verses just before this prayer, because right before he gives them this prayer, he says, when you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. He says, listen, what I'm about to give you, this answer that I'm about to give you, this isn't a prayer that's like a magic potion that you're going to just repeat over and over and over again, and then you're going to begin to have this conversation with God. That's not what it's about. And as we begin to look at this, we realize that this prayer is about principles, not about something that we repeat. And as we look at this, we realize that almost line by line, we see God giving us principles about this conversation that we're having with God, principles that guide us forward as we're moving into this conversation where we're not just talking, but where we're actually hearing. And it's amazing because this prayer that he gives us in just a few short lines is packed with information that guides and directs our conversation with God. And over the first 2 weeks, we're actually just going to dive into the first two lines. It starts off, it says, in Matthew 6:9, it says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And we're just going to start off with the first two lines, because I'm telling you, he is like, with every single word, he's giving us information about this conversation. If Jesus was alive for Twitter, he would have just been incredible at it, because he had this incredible ability to be able to say so much with so little. Right? 140 characters is easy for him. And so as he's giving them this prayer, he's literally just line by line giving them principles to begin to guide them in this conversation as they move forward. Principles that they can begin to build on as they have this conversation with God. And we're actually going to look at this first line for the next 2 weeks. And the first line is a little bit interesting, because it starts off, "Our Father who art in heaven," or "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now, hallowed is a weird word, right? How many of you used the word hallowed this week? Right, John also raised his hand in the first service. He explained that he used it because he was saying this prayer, which is basically the only way any of us would ever use it. And for most of us, we read that, we have no idea what it means. We just know that that's what Jesus told us to say, and so that's what we say. But the actual definition of the Greek word that's used here is this idea of holiness. It's this idea that your name is special, it's set apart, it's holy, it's a name above all other names. And over the first 2 weeks, I want to kind of break this down for us. Next week, we're going to focus on our Father in heaven and why that was so significant that he began that way. But this week, what I want us to do is focus on this line, "Hallowed be thy name." Because why does Jesus Christ begin this prayer this way? And I've heard people say a lot of different things about why he starts this thing the way that he does. I've heard people say that, well, you know what? Prayer should always begin with praise. Which is kind of a weird thing. I mean, does God need this little ego boost at the beginning? Is this kind of... And sometimes we'll take this prayer and we'll make it into a formula and we'll say, okay, if you want God to answer your prayers, then you need to follow this formula. And it starts with kind of giving God a little bit of an ego boost, and then that way he feels good about himself and then he'll answer you back. Is that really what this is about? I mean, why does he start off in praise? And the interesting thing is that if you study the prayers of Jesus Christ, he doesn't always start in praise. He does often, but he doesn't always. So what's the significance of this? And I think that when we see him start off this way, the focus or the principle that he's trying to give us is less about praise and more about position. It's less about us lifting God up, and it's more about us realizing where we stand before God. Have you ever had a conversation with someone who comes to you with a question, but they already have the answer? Those are fun conversations, right? They come to you, and they're like, you know what, I've got this question. And so you're like, all right, what is it? And they start walking through the question, and you expect them at some point to stop and give you a chance to be able to bring your opinion into the situation, but they don't. They just keep going until they give you the answer, and then they're like, well, you know, that was great. Thank you so much for helping me through that. And you sit there, what happened? This happens to me all the time. Right? People will come to me and they'll be like, you know, I'm working through this thing and I don't really know, you know, what the right answer is, and then they'll start talking and I don't know if they just needed a sounding board or what, but they just keep talking, and like 45 minutes later, they give me the answer, and I'm like, okay, sounds good. Have a good day. Those are great meetings. I don't have to talk at all. And sometimes that's a really good thing, right? I mean, sometimes you just need someone to be able to bounce things off of. Sometimes this is a necessary thing for us to make decisions, and we want to be able to kind of hear how other people respond, or even see how other people respond as we're sharing with them the conclusions that we've come to. This can be a really, really positive thing. As a matter of fact, kind of a side note, For those of you who are married here, or those of you who are in relationships here, guys, when girls come to you with a question, or they're coming to you with a decision that they're making, this is exactly what they want. They don't want to hear what you think about the situation. They don't care. They don't want to hear what you think the answer is. They don't think you can come up with the answer, to be honest. Right? They just want to be able to bring it to you, to talk through it, to share with you the answer that now they've come to, and then it's really helpful for them. Right? The sooner you can grab a hold of this, the better off it is. As a matter of fact, first service, I actually got an amen on this. It's the only amen I've ever gotten while I was speaking. Only one ever. Dead serious. Right? And sometimes this can be a really, really positive thing. But the problem is, in our conversation with God, and for most of our prayer, this is exactly what happens. And for most of us, when it comes to prayer, this is what we do. And so we come to God, and we bring to God whatever it is that we're bringing to Him that day, whatever the situation is, the decision is, the future is, the fear is, the hope is, whatever it may be, we bring it to Him, and we explain it to Him. We begin to process it ourselves. We share with Him the decision that we've now come to, and we leave. And I think God is in the same situation that we're in when we're in those conversations where He's like, okay, nice to talk to you. And there are a lot of different reasons why I think this happens. There are a lot of different things that factor into this for us. One, it's really weird to talk to someone who isn't automatically talking back to you. Right? I mean, that's just an odd thing to do. This idea of prayer, that I'm going to spiritually talk to someone that I believe exists, even though I can't audibly hear them, is just strange. And so it's natural for us to just keep talking. It was really funny when Caden was first born. For those of you who don't know me, I've got a little 2-year-old son. And when Caden was first born, they tell you to talk to them, which is just weird in and of itself. Because you feel like you're just talking to yourself. You're talking and talking and talking. And at first, they don't even make noises back. The only noises that they make don't come out of their mouth. They come out of the other end. And it's just like, and you're just talking and talking and talking, and nothing ever, you don't get any kind of feedback. But I can remember really, really clearly the first time that Caden talked to me. And it wasn't like audible, like it wasn't understandable words. I didn't understand anything that he says. But I remember very clearly the first time that he talked back to me. We're sitting on the couch and I'm talking and talking, and I stop, and then he started talking, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is incredible. And he's looking at me like I should understand. And so I nod along like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's cool. And we began to have these conversations, and it was incredible. As a dad, it was unbelievable. And this went on for a couple weeks. But the really interesting thing was that Caden never talked to Anna, my wife, for those of you who are wondering who Anna is. He would never talk to her. And I would tell her about how Caden's talking now, and he's trying to express these things. And I would come home at the end of the day, and I'd be like, so did he talk to you today? And she'd be like, no. And we're like, man, what's happening? And of course, I'm like, well, he just likes me better than you. It's clear. What we suspected is true. But we're wondering what in the world is happening. And then finally, one weekend, we're both with him, and I'm kind of observing them, and he had gotten up, and we're walking through the morning together, and she's changing him, and we were kind of talking about this, and she's trying to get him to talk to her and doing everything that she can to get him to talk to her. And I realized something throughout the morning. And so about halfway through the morning, I said, Anna, the reason he's not talking to you is that you never stop talking. And she literally would talk to him all morning long. I said, just stop talking for a little bit. And she did. And all of a sudden, he started talking to her. It was amazing. And I think for some of us, when it comes to this idea of prayer, it's so out there. It's so different from the conversations that we have with those around us, that this idea that I'm actually going to stop and wait for him to answer, we don't know what to do with that. I think that's one of the things that plays into it. The other thing that plays into it is for some of us, we don't want to hear. We actually don't want to hear. We don't believe that God is good yet, and we don't believe that God really can be trusted. We don't necessarily believe that God loves us, and so we want to keep God at a distance. And I'm telling you, in a couple weeks, we're going to dive into a series beginning Easter that we're going to talk about that, and it is going to drastically change the way you're looking at God. But for some of us, the reason that we don't stop and listen is because we don't actually think we want to hear. Then maybe it's because at some point God has spoken to you. And sometimes what God has to say for us, it leads us into things that we don't necessarily know we can handle. And so for a lot of us, I think the reason we just keep talking is because we don't actually want to know what he has to say. Because we don't trust him. For others of us, it's not necessarily that we don't trust him, but we don't necessarily believe that he would actually answer. We just keep talking because we just kind of want to run something by him, and we kind of feel like this is our obligation to be able to bring this to him, but we don't actually believe him that he would answer. We don't actually believe him that he would do what he says he's going to do. And for others of us, the truth is we've come to the conclusion ourselves. And if we're honest with ourselves, we trust our own answers more than we trust his anyway. And if he chooses to kind of give us input, that's fine, but we are actually okay with us making the decisions. And we don't necessarily believe that we actually need him to inform those decisions. This is at the heart of what it means to be broken. Do you know what it is that Satan tempted Eve with in the garden? The lie was that God was holding out on her. Do you know what he was holding out? What it was that she wanted when she took the fruit? Listen to what it says in Genesis. It says, "The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her." She wanted to be able to find the answer without God. And from that day forward, we've been living in this world where we think that we can come up with the answer on our own. We think that we have the wisdom. We think that we can make it without him. I can make it through this situation. I can make it through this decision. And I don't need to hear from him. But the Bible says that the beginning of true wisdom is when we fear God, or when we realize how incredible and how big and how awesome and how powerful he is, because then we begin to realize, I don't have the answer and he does. And so the reason I believe Jesus Christ begins this way as he answers his disciples is that he's communicating to them, and he realizes if you want to begin to have a real conversation with God, it begins by coming to the point where you say, God, hallowed be thy name. You are incredible. You are big. I need your answers, not mine. In this relationship, I'm the child. I'm the one who needs you. I'm the one who isn't going to be able to make this decision without you. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking through the opportunity that you have to actually have a conversation with God. And I believe that when Jesus Christ tells us it's possible, it's possible. And I believe that in your life, you can begin to hear from the Spirit of God. And he can begin to inform your decision and your situation. But just as Jesus Christ begins this prayer, I think for every single one of us, it begins with us realizing that, you know what? We need that to happen. Because we can't make the decisions on our own. And we need a God who's big and powerful. A God who knows. A God who loves. A God who's incredible. To begin to inform us. We need to leave behind these conversations where we're bringing God the decisions we've already made. And we need to begin to bring him these situations and these decisions and wait, believing that he'll answer and believing that we need him to answer. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning as we begin this conversation, I pray for those of us who are here, I pray that we would begin to believe what you've said is possible. I pray that we would leave behind this idea that we can come to the answers on our own. I pray that we would leave behind this method of prayer where we're just bringing you the decisions we've already made, where we're just bringing you these conversations because we think it's what we ought to do, as opposed to coming to you believing that you will actually answer. And Father, I pray that we would begin to have these conversations, trusting you and waiting for your Spirit to begin to talk to us. In Jesus' name, amen.